boots need to be not utilized because of the training. In terms of time, I left there, not more than that. The empty buildings, most of the time. And then we need to accelerate the delivery of healthcare technology. Information, I'm sure this is very clear. The technology that is used to provide our hospital. Number eight, acceleration of an implementation of HIV and AIDS. I'm going to come back to this. Mass mobilization for better health for the population. We need to massively mobilize our people. Number nine is review of the drug policy. There's already a report of the drug policy has been reviewed. That means the way we buy drugs, the way we supply them, why they are stocked out in the hospital, what is the logistics, etc. And lastly, strengthening research and development. In our institution, we need to do a lot of research rather than being consumers of research findings from other countries. Our country needs to do its own research and develop that. These are the 10 points on our 10 point program. But now, after last year, after the state, our budget speech in the State of the Nation address, after the 10-point program was accepted, the president then said no, and he mentioned that in the State of the Nation, he wants what is called outcome based, not only in health, in all the five major priorities. That means we need to work on the basis of outcomes. And each department was then asked to choose their own outcome. We divided our outcomes in health. I'm trying to look at the here, the slide. On slide 12, yeah, we started doing the 21 outcomes in health. No, something wrong with it. Okay, let me report. What we did in health, after it was agreed in cabinet that we need what we call outcome based, we then decided to divide it into four broad categories of outcomes. What are they? Number one, we need to deal with this life expectancy, which has had a new body coming for us. We must deal with it very clearly and have targeted features. Number two, this issue of maternal and child mortality. We need to deal with it in terms of figures. The number of children who die before they reach 1 year or 5 years. The number of women who die in pregnancy. It needs to come down. Number three, we need to deal decisively with HIV, AIDS, and TB. We need to face them head on and deal with them. And number four, the effectiveness and efficiency of the healthcare system. All the things which you openly complain about when you listen to your constituents, we need to deal with those. Those are the main outcomes that we need to deal with. Now, those outcomes, those four areas which are announced, what is the way of dealing with them item by item? You need to increase life expectancy at birth. You need to reduce child mortality, increase maternal mortality, manage HIV AIDS, reduce the rate of infection, expand prevention of mother-child transmission, improve TB case finding, improve TB outcomes, improve access to antiretroviral treatment for, especially for people who have got both TB and HIV, decrease the prevalence of multi-drug resistant TB, revitalize primary health care infrastructure, improve physical infrastructure for health delivery, improve patient care and satisfaction, accredit health facilities for quality. That means have a body which goes to a hospital, examine it, or inspect it, and write a report and say this is below quality, or this is above, or this is below standard. And enhance operational management of health facilities. That's what I've mentioned before. Improve access to human resources for health, improve health care financing, strengthen health information systems, improve health use services, expand access to home-based care and community. These changes are the individual outcomes which we have to keep one by one over the next 5 years and make sure that we implement. It will lead to the improvement of the four categories that I've mentioned. And now this is, are the things I've mentioned in figures. What do you do for life expectancy? What do you know? That means the target. the indicator, the baseline, what is it now? And the right side shows where we want to go. We are saying, if life expectancy is 63.5 years for males and 67.2 for females, we need to take it up to 68 to 60. If the child mortality is 69,000 in this test, let's reduce it to 45. If the number of mothers who are dying in childbirth and pregnancy, in pregnancy and childbirth is between 4 and 625 for every 100,000 pregnant women, I mean, if that, let's reduce to 100 or less, etc. That means that slide shows if the TB cure rate now is 64%, we need to increase it to 85%. If the number of children who get HIV from their mother is 10%, we need to reduce it to zero or to below 5%. These are some of the things that we need to do, which I'm sure when you get time, you're going to study thoroughly. Increasing life expectancy, those are the things that there we want to put and say. If what we increase life expectancy of people, you need to go through all those items. When you reduce child mortality, those are the items you need to go through, including massive immunization, you know, the issue of treating children who are HIV positive, increasing the number of children who are taken care of immediately after delivery. Things like the on that slide 18, the last bullet point, conducting research and polio campaign in all the provinces, April, May. On Monday, I personally launched a massive measles and polio immunization campaign in Benoni West Primary School. Our target here is that we need to immunize 15 million children below the age of 15 years for measles. Last year, we already did more than 2,000 on Monday. And polio, we are targeting 5 million children under the age of 5. So this campaign is very important. Now, that will be augmented, for instance, by launching school health programs. We need to make sure that, especially in the poorest district, nurses start visiting schools. We need to check kids for their files, their, you know, their peers, general health. And that will help us reduce maternal mortality. Reducing maternal mortality. Colleagues, I need to emphasize here that maternal mortality is not the death of a woman. It's the death of a woman because she's self-pregnant. Something that is so different. You are dying because you're self-pregnant. And people are not to die working for pregnant. And, you know, you can't have a society like that. So there are a lot of things that needs to be done, that will be supplemented, meaning including antenatal care, including the whole HIV AIDS treatment regimen. You know, the president announced, for instance, that pregnant mothers must not be treated when the disease becomes the following 200. We must treat them quickly. Something that we started on the 14 days ago. We started that on mothers, and we are going to have to change even antenatal care, etc. We need to manage HIV AIDS prevalence. Part of what the president has announced are new treatment regimens, which just to remind you, there were four. That all the pregnant women must be treated when they do come to treat. All the people who have got both HIV AIDS and TB, thank you, don't wait for their physical support. All the children who are below 1 year, don't wait for any TB to come. The moment you know they are positive, start treating them. And lastly, pregnant women who don't need treatment because their PG for count is very high, start doing prevention to mother child transmission at the age of, at 14 weeks of pregnancy. Don't wait for 28 weeks. These are the four announcements the president made. But the other important announcement, prevention, we need to prevent HIV in a way that has never been done before. That's why we made a call, the cabinet announcement, that we need to go on to a massive HIV counseling and testing campaign, where we're targeting 15 million South Africans from the age of 12 upwards. That campaign was supposed to be launched happily used by the president on the 15th, that is tomorrow. But they requested us to postpone because they are all out of the country. And they insisted that even if there will be an acting president, they would like a campaign of this magnitude to be launched by them officials. I mean, that night. So we have postponed it. And we have already discussed the country with this campaign. The honorable members want me to understand it very much. We have already met all the 19 summer, you know, sectors, labor, business, women's group, children's group, religion, etc. We are continuing to meet them. And we are giving one message. If the president tests on a particular day, he can use the test in class. The provinces must follow and also launch. Ministers and deputy ministers have agreed they'll be sent there, they'll be the first test. And the premiers were told in the presidential coordinating committee that in each province, the premier of that province will also be the test together with the minister who will send there. We have met the rectors of all our universities, the principals, we have met them, and I'm going to be writing them letters, and they agree that if you launch a campaign in university, the principal of that university will be the first to test. I've met superintendents of all our hospitals, except in the Western Cape. I'm meeting them today to speak about this campaign. And one of the messages I'm going to give them is that when the campaign is launched in the hospital, the CEO of the hospital is the first to test. When the campaign is launched in my ward, in our constituency, the member of parliament is the first to test. When the campaign is launched in parliament, the leader for political parties and chief whips and the speaker, parliament, the chairperson of PCOP, are the first to test. When the campaign is launched in the village, the traditional leader there, the chief, is the first to test. We all need to take our responsibility one or the other. If you launch it at school, the principal is the first to test. That's how we're going to carry on this campaign. If you launch it in a factory, the union leader, the shop steward, and the owner of that company is the first to test. We need leadership in this field. One of the reasons that we must call such a massive campaign, while people are happy about what the president announced on, well, is there in terms of treatment? That is extremely expensive. The government is paying for it, but we believe the cost must be there. If it goes any higher, we can actually forget. The global fund, all our international funding partners are worried that in Africa, out of every 1% put on treatment, 2 more get infected. In other words, we're taking 1 step forward, 2 steps backward. Where are we going to arrive? It's like the issue of prevention of malnutrition transmission. In France, Professor Kajapki, the president of the Global Fund, was telling me in French, in the last year, there are only 4 women who transmitted HIV into their children. But in Africa, there are 400,000. And in South Africa, there are 70,000 every year who do that. And it's not that French what is lacking. They went on prevention of malnutrition transmission with malaria in a massive way in the variety where they are. So these prevention measures I'm mentioning because they are important to reduce the rate of infection. That means also a massive condom distribution. At the moment we are distributing only 450 million male condoms and 1 million female condoms. We want to increase the number to at least 2.5 billion. We put 1 billion there because it will be on that. 2.5 billion male condoms and 6 million female condoms to be distributed. At the moment, we are raising money from the private sector everywhere to be able to acquire them. We also need to undertake a massive decompetition campaign, which has already started. Especially in KZN, the King launched it on Saturday. In the next 5 years, KwaZulu-Natal wants to circumcise 2.5 million men. To one other provinces, there's irrefutable scientific evidence. Circumcision is not a condom, but it reduces the rate of infection by 50%. But the message must be that we are helping you, that you must still use condoms. You don't want that to use this. We need to do it on a massive, massive thing. PNPC have already spoken about it, prevention of mass transmission. Our aim is this and our problem is this. Why is it necessary for a child to be born HIV positive? Why should this happen? This is about TB. The main thing I want to emphasize about TB, we have taken a decision that TB and HIV AIDS must be treated under one roof. Not the case with other people. You got TB, you go to a clinic, they give you anti-TB treatment, and say, no, but here we don't provide ARV. Travel 50 kilometers in a six or a bus to get ARV. People won't do that. It's a problem that we are facing. And it's important because the TB, HIV, co-infection rate is 73%. Meaning 73% of the people who got TB are actually HIV positive. Now, on slide 25, the important thing there about TB is that 1% of South Africa's population is for TB. That means out of every 100 South Africans, you need one is for TB. Want to cut that to less than half. I've already spoken about that. And co-infected people on slide 27, I've already mentioned the number of people who are co-infected. And slide 27 on slide 28. I'm now on slide 29. Revitalization of primary healthcare infrastructure. We are still taking an unprecedented decision in the National Health Council. That is where we meet our mainland, called the National Health Council. Over the past 15 years, we've been having what is called revitalization of health infrastructure. That problem is with Malaysia, I must tell you, remember. In the same way, yes, it has not been very successful. In the same way as the president will announce every year that he no longer wants to see children under peace and sex, but you find them every year. Part of the problem is the way our infrastructure is delivered. And we need to be very honest and straightforward. If the Department of Health doesn't have expertise inside them, who helps them with this? And depends solely on public work. I'm giving you the next 8 years to continue trading. So we have decided to hire our own engineers who are able to interact with public work. And many problems have already done so, the national has done so already. One of the reasons that we're able to announce those fire hospitals is because we have got a person who's working with special who understands this thing. So in this revitalization, that is our newly found program, whereby if we revitalize a hospital or put it differently, we will never revitalize a hospital unless we are going to revitalize the surrounding things. It doesn't help. Because if you revitalize hospitals, it looks good. People will just leave the clinic and rush to the hospital. And congested, and it doesn't help you. So we need to do that. But when you revitalize the hospital and the clinic, your plan is around primary care, not curative. You are saying, if I need to prevent diseases and promote health, what type of clinic or what type of hospital do I build? That's what we mean by revitalizing in terms of primary health care. Meaning you are giving emphasis on primary health care, physical infrastructure. I've already spoken about this, including infrastructure in the five major hospitals. There they are. And I've told you the gains we are going to get from that. We believe this is the first group. We'll move over to the next group. The other area in this case, if you look at the Limpopo Academy, I was in NEC when the decision was taken 5 years ago that we need to build this school. But we never did anything for 5 years. That's why we need to pick them up to the national level. Because look, these are national assets. But we are subjected to the poverty of provinces. That means for Nelson Mandela Academic Hospital in the same standard as Kisani Paragonas Hospital. The Eastern Cape Department of Health must be able to be rich enough to fund it. And we know they are not. So we want our assets to be at the national level. And that means I'm also giving a notice, colleagues, that these academic hospitals and universities they have, we have to change the air. And so that's the following thing for them. During all SD professors complain data. It's even more imperative because we have got the Department of Higher Education now under Minister Brady demand, which was never there before. But when you go to universities, they are divided into two in the same university. In the same university, people are in other faculties. Everything they do, they report to minister in demand. But in the medical university, some actually report to provinces. Because you come down to a professor, you are hired by the provincial department of health, and, you know, and it causes conflict and it doesn't. So the uniformity is lost. If that province is poor, that academic hospital will go down. If that province is rich, you know, so it can't work. We need to feed them out and say province must remain with the others. But the teachers, academic hospitals are national assets, which must have common national standards. This one I've already spoken about, this right thing about infrastructure, health, technology, etc. Improving patient care and infection. We have mentioned six priorities there that this needs to be fast tracked. It's not that these are the only things, that's less 32. When we improve patient care and infection, what do we do? We said the most important thing is that positive and caring values and attitude. Reduce waiting time, improve cleanliness, improve patient safety, infection prevention and control, and availability of medicines and supplies. If these six things are done, I can tell you, even before the others are done, you will see massive improvement. The volume of letters that are received from members of parliament will decrease markedly. Because, take for instance, the middle one, the third one, improving cleanliness. I told CEOs of hospitals, you don't need any money. You don't need any new budget to make sure your hospital is clean. Many of them will say, no, Minister, go and meet Nehari. The unions are refusing. They are responsible for this. I met the unions. And they said, no. Bring back these people who are saying so, they must tell us where. When they fail to leave, they now blame the unions. I must tell you that at this point in time, I agree with the unions. We'll have the union, I'll tell you why. In areas where management is changed and improved, without approving to any union, all of a sudden the cleanliness is improved. The case in point is Chris Alibarabana Hospital. 5 months ago, when I visited that hospital, was very good. We just sent the new CEO, I never met the union, that hospital was magically changed. Even the president went there, when the media was reporting, they even went to the patients who were sitting there, and they said, no, we've been here many times. This is market improvement. It's management. Mm-hmm. And I told people that if the hospital is paid, it's a reflection on your management and no politics. I am emphasizing this point not to waste your time. Just to give you this example, when I was in education, Nelson Mandela asked the late Dr. Matano to build 2 schools in Germany for 5 million each. In 1998, the school for 5 million was a massive investment. One of them, Chivas High School, became one of our top schools in terms of results. The other one, built by the same company, same thing, same facility, the other one was dysfunctional. That was with a good high school. Everybody was changing. And the team people came and said, no, but you undermine me. Why is the school and the other traditional leaders flourishing their party? And mine, so the government is undermining me. I visited that school. When I arrived there, it looked like a pigsty. It was raining that day, it looked like a pigsty. Now, I coming from rural area, I've never been in a school where there were cleaners. People are asking me cleaning. That school has got higher cleaners. And it looked like a pigsty. And I went to them and said, but what do you do? He said, we don't know, because nobody tells us anything. When we arrived at West, you choose to clean if you want to, or you sit under a tree and drink tea. Nobody tells us anything. What am I trying to say in this world? No leadership. No leadership, and the workers were telling me so that no. When I come to work, nobody tells me to do anything, and one says no. I can't just come into that classroom and find kids and start cleaning. Meaning there must be some leadership program which shows that this is what we do. In many of our hospitals, this is not there. then we can start blaming the union. So these things are going to be the measure of leadership in a particular hospital. Cleanliness, waiting time, improved patient care, infection control, availability of medicine and supply. Infection control, when I grew up, there was a person called the infection control nurse who had been banished in many hospitals because we regard them as some form of inspectors who are useful. But it's a very necessary thing to do. We also, as I said, we need to accredit health facilities. A certain number of the annum need to be accredited for quality. I'm now on slide 85. In health operational management of health facilities. We have got an agreement with the Development Bank of Southern Africa that they put up a team, which is going to visit hospital to hospital and give us a report that is not generalized and say in this hospital, this is how the management is, this is the functionality, this is where you need to change. And give a very detailed report without fear or shame. We are waiting for that. They are far advanced in this of what is left to do. That means there's bed room preparation, including addressing CEOs, introducing themselves there, sending EOs, for instance, questionnaire. That's already been done. Each hospital has been sent a questionnaire, which will show when they feel the answer there, their functionality or lack thereof. That questionnaire will be taken along together with the VC. Then they will make recommendations. I am saying this because some of the recommendations are not necessarily going to be nice to implement. It will cause war, court case. But I mean, if they come back and say, look, in this hospital, the management is too tired in the dark, what do you do? You have got to add, you can't just leave it like that. So the healthy operational management of hospital is going to be a key here. The issue of human resource, I've already spoken about at length. Primary health care, human resource, medical training, etc. Improving health care financing. There's a lot of silliness that you know about the gold code. The issue of health care financing is very important. MHI, which people do know the scheme of health, is healthcare financing. We're not the only country in the world which are doing this. All countries are doing so now. Looking at the issue of financing of healthcare. One of the biggest areas where blood might flow, I'm sorry to use that term, but it's a reality, is that the escalation of the cost of health in South Africa is something the country cannot afford. It's funny, we are a developing country. I met Lord Nigel Fish, who is one of the major people in the British healthcare system. Some 3 weeks ago, I had dinner with him at the British Embassy. He said, Mr., you know, have you seen this contradiction? The UK is more advanced than South Africa, but people there are using public health care systems. In your country, you are born private, and yet you are poor. When we talk about health care for the elite now, the teachers, the nurses, like anybody who earns a salary, I'm sure you are aware when they say health, they mean. Sorry?
No,
not even medical aid. There are only 7 million people with medical aid. There are many more people in Britain with medical aid. The thing is, the reason is not access to medical aid. There are 42 million people with no medical aid in South Africa, only 7 million of it. The issue is about healthcare financing and the public health system, which has collapsed, or the city collapsed. We need to change that. Now, why I'm saying there's blood on the floor? The private health hospitals, the private hospitals took advantage. Their costs are just out of this world. Completely out of this world. Just to give you an example, if you go to a private doctor, a GP, and do a circumcision, you'll pay something like 50 to 850 rand. But if you go to a private hospital, you are going to pay 6,000 rand. Believe me, If they are very cheap, it will be about, no, it can be 2,000. 2,000 will be the charge of the person who is cleaning. And it's a procedure which, in cases, and when the king was there, they did 271 people in one day. Can you imagine those 271 in a private hospital going to cost 6,000 rand? It's just out of this world. So we need to bring it under control. And there might have to be a presentation to Parliament that this thing cannot go on. But the NHI will also help in that because it will regulate. That's why some of these people are fighting. The stories about NHI being a bad idea being going to collapse is because some things are going to see the group that is doing the golden egg where you just touch. You just close your eyes and touch. Lastly on this issue, I meet members of Parliament on a Sunday. I was in Swaziland on there in November last year. Many of these countries, despite our problems, are actually referring their patients to us. Most of their operations are doing South Africa. The irony of it is that they've got better health outcomes. Their maternal mortality is still mortality is low. But their complicated operations are done here. Meaning we are flying high in the sky. As one minister, director of the United Nations Children's Fund. When I was asking why are these poor countries having better health outcomes than South Africa, he said, no. We don't know the answer, it's very obvious. You guys in South Africa are flying high in the sky. You have left the beaches. You believe you must go the most complicated expensive things. These people are doing the basics in primary care. And this example was demonstrated on our team Swaziland. They had a person with a peritoneal abscess, just an abscess in the plant. Referred to South Africa to a private hospital. They did a laparotomy and bring that abscess. And that patient was cut 500,000 rand. That operation. And the minister said, no, I'm not complaining because of the 500,000. We'll pay it. I'm complaining of this letter. And he gave me the letter. From a private hospital in South Africa, we say, no, this patient must go back to theater. We want the Swazi government medical team to guarantee us to pay an extra 700,000. Meaning that patient access is going for 1.2 million. I then took the documents and came back to South Africa to investigate and found that it's worse than I thought. The 1.2 million being demanded is just for hospital care. The doctor who did operation demanded 23,000 paid. Except the doctor who took the patient to sleep, the anesthetist, demanded 3,000 paid. They were still waiting for the cost from the radiologist and the pathologist. All based on one patient. If all of us go into that system of health care, even when you are in America, we can bring money from the whole world, it will never come. That patient, after the 500,000 was paid, while they were still debating 700,000, the patient died. This is the type of health care we are having. And when we want to bring national health insurance to change these people's lives, why? Because they are hiding all those activities. Because under national health insurance, I think a doctor will have to stand up on a public platform and explain to me how on earth you bring an access to 500,000. I don't think anybody in the world will ever be able to convince anybody about that. But it's happening because it's happening in corners where nothing can be done. Why am I saying it's not medical aid? Medical aid won't be here, agree to pay that. Mm-hmm. They are targeting cash paying people who are disparate, very disparate for survival. They are the ones who are suffering. Health information system, this is very obvious. Strengthen health information system. Because you are representing provinces, let me give you this information. Over the past 15 years, all provinces in South Africa acquired information technology for 4.5 billion rand. But none is functioning. No province has got a functioning health information system. We have placed a moratorium, we need to do it nationally, very clearly. And of course, province will always complain because they want to get out of the way. But we want to control them. Health service for the youth. We need to come up with a strategy for health service for the youth, for the young people. And one of the major issues here will obviously be lifestyle, including Chinese. But the one which we have not even started touching is the issue of alcohol and drug abuse. If we don't deal with it among young people, and that might mean another blood on the floor, unfortunately. Because dealing with drug laws and alcohol stealing companies and things. But we have to see them head on if we have to see South Africa. You know, I had a meeting with Premier Zille here in the Western Cape and the Minister of Police. When he describes what is happening here, because he has got gory details of what's happening in the Western Cape at the police. You leave that meeting very, very depressed. Because he will tell you that the drug laws are known here in the Western Cape. But the ones that are caught by police are the one tablet making. A person found having bought one tablet of processing. The big drug producers, they are never caught by police. Because they have got all the power in the world. He told me that many of them have got series of cameras around their home. When police arrive, they see them a mile away. And they check the drug in the toilet and trust it. The policeman will arrive there and find nothing. What do you arrest? He also told me that most of the hair salons you see here are hair salons in France only, but at the best, not the hair salons. And very unfortunately, the people running them are not South Africans, they are from all over. It's a very sensitive political issue, they might complain of xenophobia, but South Africa needs to face this. The members of parliament need to face this thing head-on. Otherwise, even this HIV campaign, how do you run an HIV campaign? Am I young people who are drunk and drugs? I mean, you are wasting your time. But we are going to have to face this, including the level of alcohol consumption. It's just too high. I'm saying this because we battle with tobacco companies. We nearly won. But we are still coming to government to strengthen. They are not holding their arms, they're taking us back to court. I don't know how far that court takes it. Yes, we are still fighting to be able to come out. But that's one better one to win even more. Because we have got many serious gains, very serious gains. By the anti-tobacco legislation that was passed from 1994, we need to strengthen on that. And after that, then we attack alcohol. I'm very much aware that I might be dreaming. Because even during the struggle of liberation, I don't remember anybody calling for the boycott of alcohol. We boycotted all other people to keep alcohol. They need to have to deal with that. Expanded access to home-based care and community health. In fact, just to summarize this, we are going to have a trip to Brazil, which is paid for by the Kaiser Foundation, because Brazil told us that they established 8,000 primary health care teams in their country. That massively reduced infant mortality, maternal mortality. In other words, they did the opposite of what South Africa is doing. Put all the assets and everything in the hospital. They want to see them in the community. Where they stop. You know, so the access to home-based care, primary care, etc. But one of the things that cabinet has agreed as part of the resolution on, which is problematic and also going to cause us serious heartache. We've got a lot of people here in South Africa called different names. Depending on which department they are. You go to local government, Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. You'll find community health, community development workers. You go to health, you find home-based care workers. You go to social development, you know? Yes. Care, you find community caregivers. It's just a different name for the same person. And community is not complaining. I was launching a campaign in Limpopo. Members of the community are just, but tell us, Minister, we thought you come from the same government. How come is it that you get three people today in your house, all of them reporting different things? This one says, no, I'm coming for HIV, AIDS only. When you think you're finished, another one comes and says, no, I'm just coming for immunization. When you think you're finished, another one comes and says, no, I'm a community development worker. That ought to be one person. In Brazil, they've integrated that into 30,000 teams right around the country, working very well. That's what we need to do. I forgot those by NGOs. And these people are already complaining they earn different salaries, depending who is employed them on what name they give them. But they more or less are supposed to be the same person. Now social development is fighting. They want to establish a new group called Masupatis. who are some form of existing community-based social workers. Mm-hmm. And they are fighting, the cabinet has just stopped them exist, but they are fighting very emotionally that they need to. So you can touch much about it, community-based care workers, This is not what I don't think that way is the way we need to be conducting ourselves around the country. So we are going to have to need a massive support, perhaps even by legislation, that we can't allow that type of situation to go on in the country. So we have got major campaigns, honorable members, which were undertaken, which you want to know about. Major health campaigns that are not forthcoming. When this life was written, they were forthcoming. But now, today, I can announce that they are here. So that will be forthcoming. Campaign forthcoming. We must change it. H1N1 campaign is started on the 5th of April 2010 and ends on the 31st of May. That one, we want to vaccinate the following people. 80,000 children who are below 15 years of age, who are HIV positive. They were traveled by H1N1 last year. The vaccination started with them on the 6th. We also have 10,000 people who are working at the port of entry, the airport, the seaport, where people from other countries are. All 10,000 of them, we need to immunize them. We also have 700,000 pregnant women who were very much troubled in immunizing. And lastly, we've got 900,000 people who are living with chronic heart disease and chest problems, who were very severely attacked. We do have 4.8 million doses of H1N1 vaccine. And the 1.3 doses are very, very clear. The other 3.5 is a donation we are still waiting for the Medical Control Council to pass it. But that is H1N1 campaign. Very important in view of the World Cup. And we think by the 31st of May, we should have reached these people. If you calculate, to see about 2.5 million people. Measles polio vaccination campaign. I launched it on Monday in Benoni West Primary School. We targeted 15 million children below the age of 15 for measles. 5 million children below the age of 5 for polio. And we believe by the 21st of April we should have covered that. Massive HIV counseling and testing, I spoke at length about it. We'll announce the date. Our typewriter will let us to remind you and give you step by step what's going to happen. But I want you to take the lead in your constituency. The second round of polio vaccination will start on the 24th of May and end on the 28th. Just the second dose, which is called the second round. So these are the massive campaigns. What I forgot to mention on the HIV testing and testing campaign, which was started the later day, is because of the burden of four pandemics that we are facing, the capital burden. We can't send people to testing stations and only test them for HIV. When you arrive there, we'll cancel and test them for HIV. We'll take your blood pressure to see if you are not hypertensive. Many people, especially in the African population, discover their hypertension when they get through. That's the first time they know that they've been hypertensive. We need to do blood pressure. Thirdly, we need to do blood sugar. Diabetes on the rise, especially those people who are on ARVs or even just on HIV. The diabetes incidence rising among them. We'll take your blood sugar, but also because it's a disease of lifestyle. If you are going to take blood sugar among members of parliament right here, I can assure you, not all of them will escape. Even without them, we will now. I'm quite sure of that. Blood pressure, diabetes, you're going to find it among all of us. Because we have changed our lifestyle. And we'll also do hemoglobin to check if a person has got anemia. We'll do an oral TB screening to all 5 million people. Because 1% of South Africa's population has got TB. We'll ask you 5 questions. If you answer yes to any one of them, we suspect that you might be having TB. Then we'll start taking X-ray and CT. So I won't give you the questions now because I don't want you to.
Okay.
to memorize And after years of no detention, I want to be honest. I want to answer all the things here and there. The other important issue for members of parliament, we are going through what is called an epidemiological transition in Africa. Epidemiological transition meaning the epidemiology of diseases that were never there are on the rise. Diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer. For instance, in the testing station, every woman that will test positive will do a pap smear. The rate of cancer of the same is cancer of the womb is absolutely on the rise among HIV positive women. So we need to do something about it. But what fuels this epidemiological transition, the disease of lifestyle, what fuels them are quite a number of issues. Number one, poor diet, which members of parliament specialize in. I don't know if you get anything by yourself, but it's very healthy. It's a lot of food, very unhealthy. Yes, no, just go there to the dining hall and check our photos before we came to parliament.
Yes.
I mean, I know people get angry, it's a test. And we can't even really go on, just look at all our photos, you know, behind, back. It's very bad for the country, but it's sitting all over, but what's in the country? You know, so that's why the Minister of Health in Africa, having noticed this, it's not only a South African phenomenon, as I'm saying, the epidemiological transition is in the whole Africa, where diseases of lifestyle are starting to afflict black people. When before they were not mentioned. So the Minister of Health in Africa in 2018, their special summit in Geneva, passed a resolution that the last day of February every year must be a healthy lifestyle day. The last Friday of February, regardless of who came, that's probably the last Friday. Further, then decided that we must run it in South Africa because of the World Cup. It was launched on the 26th of February. I tried to invite him, only one member of parliament. We launched it in Kairita with the five of the Vita World. Yes. Now, I don't want it to be a launch for one day. One of my submissions, which I also told the portfolio committee in parliament, is that we need to have a form of health club here. The day after that launch, we had a training with professors from all over the country, Tanzania, Uganda, and even here in our own country, who are making a recommendation that just walking 80 minutes every day for at least 3 days a week, that's enough to change your life. Many of these people are going to test for blood pressure. They don't need to take treatment. I'm not sure. But all I'm saying is, if you've got blood pressure, you can, unless it's very, it's moderately a mild one, you can treat it by walking. You don't have to go to a gym because it's very hard to run. Just walk for 30 minutes every day and make it routine. It will increase. Even diabetes, you can treat it through that way. Now, I want to start this number for parliament. Now, those who are in this portfolio committee will be more guilty if they don't think they are on this issue. But I believe, for instance, after this massive campaign and testing, we have detected a few people with blood pressure and all that. These people with many names, community-based care workers, doctors, there won't be a massive particular, there won't be nothing wrong in them in the villages in every city, forming a club of people, health club. Just walk, take elderly people for a walk in the afternoon and back in the old age home, in the street, but even ourselves. These are very important issues. To keep on believing that, we'll keep on going to pressure and say, no, give us money for more blood pressure pills, give us money for more diabetes pills, give us money for HIV. It's a wrong thing to happen to the country. But unfortunately, that is the cost which we're undertaking in the country. Because why am I emphasizing that? If anybody goes to hospital and they don't find drugs, there's noise all over the people. It's noise, which even members of parliament will pick up. But if a child is not vaccinated for measles, nobody say anything at all. It's not an issue. that there's never been a vaccine. Because people don't even know that they are entitled to it. What they believe they are entitled to are drugs from hospitals, from pharmacies. And I want to tell you that it doesn't help. So this campaign, we want to run them in such a way that people understand. If you look at all of them, these campaigns are about preventing disease, not making them happen. This next slide is about mine. Even at high school, I never tried at all to do accounting. I was just not understanding. So I will need to those who understand that better. I just love speaking, talking, and jumping around. But mine is this. Somebody else.
HIV and AIDS conditions. The HIV and AIDS conditions contribute the most amount of increase to the overall increase in the national. parking charges. The next slide shows the allocation for the national department, which excludes the conditional sales. So this is slide 46. It's just the operation of the national department. So the national department gets 1.6 billion rand for its activities in this year, compared to 1.7 billion last year. And that's the difference, the 6%. And it grows to 1.8 billion rand in 2012-2013. And it's allocated in that way across the big budget program. Now, why do we have this negative growth of the national department commission? Besides the efficiency gain that we've been asked to make, and that's slide 47, two programs get less money than previously. Within the strategic health program budget, we've got a one-off allocation of 160 million rand last year for H1N1, to deal with the outbreak and to buy the vaccines that the minister suggested in the campaign. And the human resources and management development branch got less money this year because it had a one-off allocation last year of 10 million rand to do the audit of the nursing college. The branch that got an increase in its budget is Masal's branch, International Relations Health Trade and Health Product Regulation branch, and that's to strengthen the NCC, which, as you know, has a fair amount of backlog in registration of new pharmaceutical products. That's slide 48. Slide 48 gives you just in a better slide, in a clearer slide, how much of money goes to each of the conditional grants that we deal with in the national department. And as I said, all of this money goes to provinces. So in 10-11, the conditional grants then amount to 19.8 billion rand. And you can see that's quite a big change from 2009-10, where it was 16.6 billion, growing then to 24 billion in 2012-13. Honourable members, the next slide 49, talks about the province, which I'm sure is a major interest to honourable members. And what we've tried to do there is to give some kind of trend of how the budgets of provinces by province have increased between 2006-2007 to this financial year. And then the last column in that slide shows how the budget has grown for each province between 2009-10 and 10-11. And I think the only thing we want to highlight here on the end is that there's a big variation across provinces on how much of additional money they got. So if you look at the Eastern Cape, it's less than 1%. It says zero there, but it's less than 1%. Whereas if you look at the Free State, they got a 21% increase in the last year. Look at Mpumalanga, it's a 5% increase, KwaZulu-Natal, 19%. So you can see there's a lot of variation. What we are doing in the national trade, which we hope will implement in the 11-12 financial year, is to give them some kind of more rigorous formula to allocate funding for health. And that's what we're currently working on, to get rid of this kind of variation, the cost problem. And again, slide 50, which continues the problem, again shows Northwest giving an 8% increase, Northern Cape 15%, and Eastern Cape 15%, giving you an average of just under 11% overall. So the 10 billion rand in provincial budgets, that's the difference between 09-10 or 10-11, represents the growth of, as I said, just under 11%. Slide 52 just says what I just said in the table, slightly different. So there's significant growth for the Free State, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and Limpopo and Western Cape, but almost zero for some provinces like the region. And the last part of the slide just shows in money terms what the additional amount is. We think that the implications for the service delivery are the following, that notwithstanding the on average 10% increase in the budget between 09-10 and 10-11, there are going to be continued pressures on the budget in this financial year. Largely because of the accumulated overspend over the last couple of years. And I think the honourable members will know that some provinces like KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng have overspent 09-10 budget fairly significantly. 1.5, 1.7 R1 billion will have been overspent, which will have to come out of this year's budget. So the 10% average increase will not necessarily compensate for it. And the increasing burden of disease will put further pressure on the budget. And the last slide is really the conclusion, which I'll hand over back to the minister.
Well, in condition, honourable members, we just say in this strategic plan, we are preparing to do reflect intervention to improve health service delivery and improve health outcomes for all South Africans. And to remind you, the outcomes we want to see is increased life expectancy, having dealt with the prevalence of HIV, AIDS, and TB, having improved the health system, the whole health system. Efficiency and management. The targets are very ambitious, I must say. But it's not as if we've got any alternative to that. The overall allocation of the department for operational costs has declined, despite the fact that there's a huge allocation for HIV in corruption, which increased by 3%. One of the issues that we are struggling with here, this overshooting of budget which Dr. Pile here is talking about, the 18 children, is it mismanagement or is it underfunding? There is an argument here, is health mismanaged or underfunded? We believe the most accurate way to look at it is a combination of the two. For quite a long time, health has been underfunded without anybody noticing. But also, there's never been a very good use of our resources in many areas. And in getting out of the ball, you go to a province, you find that they've got no money at all to immunize kids. You are aware that you can't run a health system like that. But they've got money for some other things. You can't even do it. For some machines. Maybe there's a province here which I don't want to hear, which is paying very heavily now for an information technology system which is not functioning. But there's no money, no money for immunization, no money for basic things. Now, this type of thing should not be allowed, even by members of parliament. The questions I've been asking myself, our oversight, where has it been? When this thing just slipped off, where has oversight been left? Where have we slipped such that we allowed our country to find itself in this situation? Now, we are having a such mismatch error between the Minister of Finance and the MEC and the MEC for Health. What type of rules should we give each other if we are going to be able to control this budget significantly? So it's very important. But we also know when we say we must do more with less without compromising quality, we also happen to know, and there's a slide, we don't have it here, there's a graph to show it scientifically, that we are spending more money than quite a number of countries whose outcomes are far, far better than us. But we are spending more money to gross domestic product than them. That part we know is a well established question. Where possible, we're mobilizing donor funding. For instance, no HIV AIDS. If it was not for donor funding, we wouldn't have been here where we are. So we are mobilizing donor funding to try and help us. Thank you.
From Limpopo, we visited one hospital of clinic called Kench. It's a former mine hospital, from what we gathered there. And this hospital is not utilized, it's underutilized. with high quality machines, they have equipment, very underutilized, and the people around there are the prevalence of health, of chest or thoracic diseases in that particular area. And also Boshoff Hospital. The Boshoff Hospital, which is
in Boshoff.
Yes, which is far from the people in that, equally in this situation. It's not nowhere.
The new one?
Yeah.
Or the old one?
No, the new one is a state of the art hospital, very beautiful, but very difficult to access the hospital. As a result, it's also underutilized. So, this goes back to the planning. So, this goes back to the planning of the budget department, how to use the UK. And also, in KZN, the one that I want to bring to your attention is the Kabisa Hospital, which has a beautiful nurses and doctor's quarters. And I understand that the revitalization program is taking place. Phase B has been stalled because of the other priorities. And Phase B was supposed to be the hospital infrastructure. And the concern that we have is that there are wards or places in the hospital that are in a very safe state. They can collapse at any time. For instance, you have your OPD upstairs, and underneath the OPD, you have a pharmacy. And the pipes are no longer in a good condition, so much that water is oozing through the walls of the hospital. And when you go to the pharmacy, there's water all over the place. You know, always the medication that is stored there, the drugs that are stored there, they can get damaged at any time. Everything can collapse. So those are some of the areas that we need to work to pay attention to and make a follow-up. And we don't know whether in this year's plan and finally whether we do have this kind of continuation. And also going back to the presentation that we have made, I want to raise an issue on the accreditation of the hospital health facility for quality. There used to be what is called the agency for Kotasa, that used to be the doing away with Kotasa, and the establishing new structure to do the study. So at this stage, I will allow me to see the accuracy of the issue.
I think the unionization program, which is not functional, that is a problem we must attend to that, because if we can cure the diseases and the sickness of children beforehand, then afterwards we will have less expenditure in our department. That one we must put our minds on. The one which is very worrying about, especially about the HIV surveillance for women between 15 and 24 years, if we and in the document you are telling us that 21.7% of the population in this area. Now, if we can succeed to address the situation, then we are, as a population, are better in the future, especially on the young people. I take cognizance of the program of this department in the situation. Now, I'm very worried about the poorly managed of the hospital. So we pay those people, especially in the management, high salary, and we must expect them to do their duty on their situation. And I think we must bring back the discipline in the hospital. Discipline is very important in education, in the health sector, in every sector of the government. And we must put our minds on that to address some kind of model to monitor and coordinate those people in the situation where they are the head of those institutions. So my question is actually to the department, is there a model to coordinate those people, especially in their work being done in that management? The nursing colleges, I agree that to do away with nursing colleges was a very huge fall we as a community and people of South Africa made. And my question now to the department, what program, what action are in place to maybe to get those colleges, not actually the colleges, but actually to get the community to get their responsibility back in the community, to train the community outside to fill those gaps for the interim, while we are busy with bringing back of the colleges, the nursing colleges. And I think that will be the solution in the interim to curb that problem in the outside. I think we must use our examples which we use in policy. The operational side of how to operate in certain stuff to get more better outcomes in the policy. The other thing is the distribution of the commons. Is there a program to educate the people why government wants them to make more use of commons?
Is there what?
Is there a program to educate the people, the community, why government wants them to make use of commons? And then, is there costing of the NHI, a costing model for the NHI?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like first to know what is the department doing in connection with the monitoring of the hospital management, then as well on condition of equipment and building.
Control of
Control and the as I say the monitoring of the management of hospitals. I'm talking about the manager, the CEO itself, regulating quality, etc. We're not saying that we know that they are financially mismanaged. Then I want to know that nurses' colleges. We've got a lot of nurses, the few qualified nurses or good qualified nurses are going overseas for getting much more money than they can get here in South Africa themselves. And we've seen that as some when nurses' colleges close down, that we really are having a problem where some of these nurses could actually help people that have minor problems. We take it solve because we have got a lack of doctors, obviously. We know that. So we are really thinking of educating more or getting more South African nurses into the system back by getting nursing colleges. What's your opinion on that? Then we were talking about the equipment and the state of the art hospitals, and I've got a problem. If you go to Barkley West, for instance, there's a brand new state-of-the-art hospital, and you've got people dying there because there's no doctor. Now it doesn't help us having a great new hospital and we don't have a doctor there. Then on the other side, we've got Kimberley Hospital. I'm just talking about my area, Mr. Minister. We've got the manager that bought the most state-of-the-art, most expensive Siemens equipment, which no one can operate. I mean, that to me, they have to fly someone to Germany to get the court after this hell of an expensive machine was bought by the hospital. Then when we did oversight, we went to Ulundi, where we got to a clinic where there was no medicine because it had been run by the municipality. Now, that can be actually, if they equip this place with basic medicine, they can actually help the community. But they don't get any support from the department. And things like that, which I believe which the department must look at, because they can utilize that and help people in the communities in the surrounding areas, that they don't have to travel for hundreds of kilometers to get to medical attention. Then, Minister, there's a problem that I have. We were talking about, look at the nice private hospitals, but you know what? If you look at when management are employed at private hospitals, people they get employed by skills and competence. And that is why it's been done the way it's done. If you look at these private hospitals, and you can go in the Western Cape and the Northern Cape, all these private hospitals, they are unwell. I know there's finances for these hospitals, but you must go and you look. Hulle sê, a first frog van sy kop af. Dis wanneer a first frog. So if your top management is frog, die rest van die hospital is frog ook. So this is what I'm saying. If you've got competent people that's employed, they're not scared of deployment, and I'm saying this not in a politically based, but I mean, you must look at the realities as well. The rest of the hospital will be competent. He wish that his staff is competent. Thank you, madam.
Thank you. I'll start with the revitalization in Kompasa. And basing it on the taking of the academic hospital. One of the three notices that we need about our visit on September. And for us, we can offer the river today, all of the teachers and this was the same. This was the same. So then, there's this generic thing, the closing time of the clinic. Because what you told us in Bala is that it was only a part of their planning moving forward, only take patients that have been referred by clinics and nobody else. So when you go to the clinic, others were closed at 3. On Sundays, they're not open. What is the thing balancing that in terms of the clinics or that district respond to the community? The other one is on the management. In the manifesto of the Robin Heights today, the training for a priority on them have on training of the management. We also witnessed that with Bala, because labor was behind the turnaround strategy, singing praises about the new management and labor buying in the strategy. I see here in the plan that probably 2013 there will be that training, not sure that I've read it correctly. So, what could be done for management to respond to the priorities and then have that change management and the time on top for that institution of training during that time? Also adding on the opening of the college, that the plan talks about whatever amount that is going to be spent on the audit. Audit of the college, maybe it's a question of the stage where they are now and what could be done. But also it has been part of the priority in terms of trying to respond to the training of nurses and receiving them. So I'm showing you know, the time spent on auditing and the real action. Thanks.
Thank you, Professor. I've got just two questions. I'm just having me if I go to one corner. I'll actually start with the question. The question is on the National Health Insurance. I just want to find out from the Minister's Department if there is enough no advocacy campaign on the National Health Insurance so that to solicit buy-in of the beneficiaries, which I believe is the public and the South African citizens. Any movement, a program to make sure that they are aware of discussion that is going on this and what is it that is in for them in terms of the advocacy. And the other point that I wanted to check on is also on checking on the buy-in of people. Or the minister talked about the very good thing of the massive testing campaign where leaders must lead as well by example. So leaders should test first. We have a good buy-in in this approach or in this campaign. So as and when you actually want to implement the campaign, we should not actually hit the rock bottom where you have leaders refusing or citing all sort of ties and all those things. If things, if the preparation for this campaign level so that everybody is on board on it. I also wanted to appreciate the issues that the minister raised. And as far as the clinics and the hospital, which I fully agree with the minister, that in most cases people always bypass the clinic and want to go to the hospital. And but I wanted to accept it with a comment to say if you I have seen it in the area where I come from, in the north of South, where most of the people prefer to bypass the clinic to the hospital. And there was various reasons. Some of the reasons they are citing attitudinal reasons. That if you go to a clinic, you find that the attitude of the staff in the clinic are extremely, no, don't want to use the word, it's like their attitude is not good. So they would prefer to bypass on the basis of the treatment that they receive from staff at the clinic level. So what I'm saying, I know it's not possible for the ministry to actually give it attitudinal perception of issues of people, because I know it's a societal problem. But I'm saying, is there any maybe kind of coaching and clinics meant for the management of clinics and hospitals so that they actually are able to deal with this attitude of staff towards patients? And the last one, I think this is the last one. I think that the minister raised it. The issue of using a condom and contraception. That this I think this campaign is not only be at the highest level, but we also want people from the grassroots, from the county. Should have a message clear that it's important that you must begin to resuscitate and begin to go through this process. Because this unplanned pregnancies and this abusing of condoms and all this is becoming now a culture in different areas. So I appreciate that you have mentioned it, but we want to also assist in making sure that we make it right about it. I think we must begin to go back and begin to take precautions. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
the issue of Limpopo, the two hospitals, and tell me, I also know that you have been there when I was making the teaching. But because I stay in Limpopo, I know the problem. I'm not sure how we're going to solve this problem. It's an issue of ghost towns. Tent was an aspect of mining area. They no longer mine aspects of the people are doing. In fact, it's a big debate whether those people must live there any longer or not. This hospital was built by, I don't know whether it's a Japanese, in 1998 or so. I'm not sure why they insisted. My personal feeling knowing that area is that we must keep that equipment out of that thing. But what do you do with the thing? Now, if this has been emotional people from community, when this hospital has failed, the same as here, quite often. I've never visited it, but I'm completely surprised about what you say. The area where the hospital was built initially has got long trails. That old hospital is tracked all over. In fact, some of the walls were moving with the soil. It was very dangerous. They had to build a new hospital. What I know is that the MEC then from 1990 had numerous meetings there, numerous marches, numerous community meetings and marches about when to put this hospital. If there is one area where there's been consultation, it is this one. If after consultation they build it in the wrong place, I don't know how to describe it. But all I know is that it might be because of the, you know, the conflict was so heavy that I used to wonder exactly why our people behave like this. Some four years ago, this hospital, the starting to start a new hospital in 1998. But 3 years ago, there was a teacher at Ekpari Fire because of this issue. No longer there. So that is that you'll never come back to work for this department. Because of this complaint, he went to mobilize learners. He went out of school. He did not attend school that day. Mobilizing learners in that area to go on a massive exchange to disrupt the activities of this hospital. And he was making use of learners. And the reason that I fired him, unfortunately, they kicked us. And in every school he arrived, they noticed the time that he arrived and wrote notes. And thereafter, after that 5-day campaign, he came to the university in 1972. So I confronted the doctor who noticed, and he apologized and we fired him. It was a fight about stage four. I mean, I was angry that if a teacher at school leaving educational activities to go and fight for a hospital is being kicked out. So I just cannot explain. There was massive, the number of people there I can't count to decide where the hospital must be working. Maybe because of the result of the conflict situation might go either way. Maybe at the end, those who were well meaning lost and those who are angry ended up winning. Because of our education, I also know it too. I remember in 1996, when former President Thabo Mbeki was still the deputy president, he visited Limpopo and ordered that two schools be demolished immediately and probably go there to build two new schools. Because these schools were between villages. And they were not next to any village. They were just there in the wilderness. When you go in this thing, the former government, homeland government, wanted to build a school. And the communities there, they didn't have enough money. And each community wanted to be next to them. And they held a meeting. The communities are 20 kilometers apart. They agreed in that meeting that they must count 5 kilometers this way and 5 kilometers before you bring the meeting. And they agreed it was a democratic agreement. In a meeting, and they built it there. The reason that President Bailey said it must be demolished is because kids walk 5 kilometers and they're passing the bush. And the level of pregnancy there was unbelievable. You could see them even when you were there. All the kids there are pregnant.
because they say they spend a lot of time on the yes. And the school is taking the boys who are what you call the boys who are hitting cattle and because they were using the school as well as the classroom. The government helped them. I mean, it's through the bush. So then the community said, no, we ended it this way so that both of us are 35. Basically, it's not that both of them got 35, that none got 35.
Yeah.
And they are happy that none of us have gained. I suspect that's what happened in Limpopo. Because I'm definitely sure of this conflict. At that time, Limpopo was revitalizing, I think, four hospitals. Four. One is in the Wakom, one is in the first. Then I forgot the third one, but the conflict was there. So if the end result of that conflict was to build it in the bush. So sometimes democratic leads to this in our community. The Kalita hospital, I think, will check. I know the KZS for help, they want to hire an engineer. Once you saw in Kalita, you're going to find it all our hospitals. It's clear and clear. How do we build massive infrastructure? And when you go to that hospital, whether it's Bara, Kitani, Barabana, Protestant, and all that, ask them who is in charge in that hospital for maintenance of infrastructure. You find no good. All of them depend on public work. They all depend on public work. And public work is also their job. But nobody is doing it. If you get angry, go deeper. They will tell you that no one is doing it. Like this is the hospital in Kumalanga. Where the tumors have been missing for the past year. And they told us they've been waiting for public work for 6 months. They will even show you a letter that you wrote to them when you just arrived. It's not going to happen. I want to see Sadi Barabaha for 5 months ago when we came in. I mean, you find a ceiling, just this ceiling raining. It's going to rain until it falls down. There's no bone to be maintained. The walls are filling. Somewhere it's leaking until the whole wall is wet. All our institutions are like that. And when you ask them, they say, no, public works, we're reading a letter. Here they are, you know. So I told them, this is not the manner to manage our institution. That's why each provincial department must have a resident engineer who will fight this test. The national department will have. But each hospital, even if it's not an engineer, there needs to be a maintenance person for different things. At least the person who has got some form of skill in maintenance. That's why we have to build these 5 new hospitals, to tell you the truth. Some of them, I mean, I know Aramuga Hospital is not that old enough, far away. But some of them, because there's not been any maintenance whatsoever. If you build a house and you don't maintain it, it will just disappear. Bit by bit, and so you can no longer maintain it. So the Kalita situation will go and look at it. But I can tell you, it's overall in the whole country. The accreditation, you said that the structure called COSATA, I'm not sure whether that's a matter. What we want to do in accreditation, we will establish an office of standard compliance via an act of parliament. They, for instance, before any hospital, whether public or private, by the way, before it's allowed to accredit to NHI, it must be accredited by this board. Not that every private hospital will just wake up once NHI starts functioning. There must be a special accreditation, but they are accredited under. Whereby we can write the report and bring it. We are going to get a lot of help in England. They've already got this. They go and attest and examine this hospital standard, grade them from 1 to 5. They can issue a report to the community and say, our hospital is grade 1 or is grade 5, depending on. Of course, they say it causes war. Because the community says, no, we are not responsible for being grade 1. Why do you give us grade 1 managers who put the hospital at this level? But it sort of pushes management to start working. That's why we need that office of financial compliance. I don't know whether you need to test anything.
COSATA has been part of a big national process to refine national standards that will actually become in terms of the private sector, primary health care, So there is a natural process which involves a lot of stakeholders.
The medical is currently using it, so have been using that to work with for a while.
Now, the nursing colleges, we think that this issue has started. I remember as early as 1996 in Limpopo, we gave over 2 former teachers at training college to make their nursing college. It's not a job that we're still going to start. All we're saying is, if you need to train a nurse, there must be a attached to a hospital to do that. If later on after qualifying they want to go to university, of course we encourage that. But it can be that they start at the university and end up in the hospital. I mean, it's a very serious research development which is happening. More so it cuts, that's why we have got fewer nurses. It cut down on the number of children from poor families. Because when I grew up, the child would really just make sure that they pass matric. Once you've got the matric thinking, you get into a start training and you're already in it. In fact, I'm not confessing publicly, my first long pair of trousers, we used to know short ones. My first long pair of trousers in this world was bought by a cousin who just registered for nursing. Yes, and bought me and said, because you are now earning money. Now, at the moment, you must first get money to go to university. How many kids from black community will go to university? The private sector then said, no. Government is not training, let's come in. Do you know how much it costs in some? 82,000 in the last information I got. For a young person to go out and train for me. Yeah, for to be an enrollment, not a professional. $82,000. So you must just give him that money first. Whereas in the past, you are actually going to earn money by virtue of your training. So the system is the one which depleted out of nursing. But what it was then, we then have this nursing. Of course, we get paid to some of them phone me to warn me. But I'm not usually a person who gets easy intimidated. That's what I'm doing. They said we are undermining them. When I talk, because I spoke about this in public. I mean, you go there to university, you read a lot of skills. You pass. Then you come to the hospital. After 4 years of training at university, it's then that they must start teaching you how nursing work is done. But because you have already got the degree and this, you know, you are a commander already. So you believe you must command people. And where are the people you are going to command? Because you are all commanders, you all come from university. So the system is not working. I am saying so because some of the nurses believe from me that I'm undermining their profession and all that. And I said, but it's pretty nonsense. I'm speaking inside here. Nobody stops you from going to university. But you can't go and start there. Anywhere in the world, nursing is a bedside experience. In fact, if you check, I might be making a mistake, but I'm quite convinced. I've seen anecdotal. All the nurses that are demanded in Britain and Europe are not the ones who present in university. No. Most of the nurses I know who are South Africa to go there are those who exercise experience in Tegapur, who started right there at the bottom and move up until the theater. Yes. Because, I mean, some of us, because we're working in this profession, if you get into an operating room, some professors don't talk and they lose their temper very easily. When they do an operation, they don't want to talk. Yes, and you must know what to do at that time. We'll just keep on saying this. And you must know what instrument to give. It's not going to tell you. If you give a wrong one, you well, ask this professor. I don't know whether you, when you are comparing to you, the professor of gynecology, whether you are putting on. But I happen to know, even though I am not a professor yet, when I do a Caesar, because we have done so many times with the nurse, I will never tell her what to do. In fact, if you are new, a new doctor, is a sister, who knows what is the first instrument you must use? What razor size? Which size to fold? It is the one who guides you actually. Now, if it's from university, can you don't go ask me what you want to just throw the instrument in my entry and that type of experience is extremely important in nursing. It's a very important phenomenon. I don't know why this decision was taken in our country. It's wrong. Especially that we are seeing even in our normal higher education system. We've been saying this from 1994 and 2010. That the fact that we are having a sending more kids to universities than to FET colleges is wrong. Development is not like that. You need more kids to go to FET colleges because then they run the economy. You know, they become artisans and technicians. But we are sending more kids to get them. Because it's not engineers and all that who do it. They do the cleaning. It's the technicians who must do it. I know, for instance, when I was in hospital, when you find somebody who needs, you know, this prosthetic to help them, you know, maybe it's got one foot lower than the other and all that. You know how to what to order, but I never have an idea how it starts. You just write there and see, that's not by this and that. You describe it because we have heard about it. Some of us have never even seen it and how it starts. The person is going to feed this person and make sure that they work. It's a technician. That person is not from university. It's paying such institutions of training to another university. You are full of theory. If that person goes away, I will just know that this is the type of shoe that is needed. But I will never be able to do it. So I'm just giving this example that certain things need to practical work, you know. And we have destroyed our native. If they've got a better experience from the beginning. I've got a suspicion that even this issue of attitude people complain about comes from there. Because if you went to a hospital blank, very blank, and they tell you to watch this patient and put on million, change the bed, why would you refuse? But if you come there already with a degree, and they tell you to do that, I think you'll get irritated. It's just normal. Because you believe it's a job below what you do. But you are meeting patients for the first time. They irritate you, they are dirty and all that. But if you are used to that dirtiness, when you are still dirty also, because from the years, when you are still dirty straight from the street, many young girls who have just passed the trigger, no? They are still at the level of where you must see them cleaning themselves. So we must understand how this is about, but we are completely destroyed. And we need to rebuild it from the beginning. The issue of condoms in our to educate people in our program, this HIV culture and medicine, will put together all this, the list of things that we have, massive education and communication is one of them. That's why it's not, you see, this HIV campaign is run at two levels. We've already established a nerve center in Swan, in Spuman Creek. It's a big nerve center there where it used to be the environment of the future. So I'm glad the building is low. We are running this campaign at two levels. The Department of Health will specialize in treatment and, you know, acquisition, test kit, condoms, all the things that are wanted. But TANA must specialize in the prevention and mass mobilization. Who is TANA? The South African National AIDS Cancer, which is led by the deputy president of the country. Don't forget about this. There are 19 sectors in SANA. Every living human being to other people cannot claim that within SANA they are not represented. Everybody, including members of parliament, you are represented there not necessarily as a member of parliament. For instance, there's labor, which represents all labor unions. There's a youth section, if you are a young person. There's a woman section, if you are a woman. There is even a men's sector. There's a sector on traditional healers, sector on traditional leaders, people living with HIV, people with, you know, this transsexual, you know, lesbian, gays, and all that, LGBT. They are all represented. The last group which we wanted to represent, which we took a decision but we have not called them, are people who are involved in commercial sector. So everybody will find themselves there and we said, this job of running this campaign is well, of mobilizing. Many of them specialize in this educating of people. The only thing that is new for them is that government is now taking the lead. When some of them have been doing this thing for alone. Even this testing, there are people who have been doing it. For instance, I know there's a Desmond Tutu, Reverend Desmond Tutu has got a small NGO, I don't know what this call is. Yes. There's been testing 10,000 people per annum.
alone. But you are saying we are 15 million people. We are not going to tell you to go away. We tend to continue back what we can. Those who have been educating people about condoms. So the difference is that the state is coming in to take the lead. That's why if you go to the operational center, we have seconded one of our chief directors in health to work there full time. So I'm like a second CEO, chief operating officer. So you've got government and SANAC. One specializing in mass mobilization and education, the other specializing in treatment and acquisition and all that, because SANAC cannot acquire some of these things. They don't even have money. So we believe that twin strategy will make sure that the campaign gets successful. But in the next coming weeks, we have not yet had. In the next coming weeks, we are going to flag the country with information on TV, on radio, pamphlets, even with speaking to cell phone companies. Everybody can use a cell phone at one thing or the other. You're going to receive a message there. When you look at it, it will say, please call and text. So every South African can use a cell phone will receive that. So those are some of the things we plan to do. The costing of NHI. The NHI document was sent to a cabinet committee. It's one of the things we picked up that brings the costing we want to see here. How much is it going to cost? The second area was that we spoke of primary health care. That NHI is not be so expensive to increase in primary health care. They were worried that in that document it was reflected here. They returned it. And the ministerial advisor also did work on it. What is left is to find the next nearest place and take it back to cabinet, then it can become public. And once it's so, we start advocating. At the moment, what is happening is not advocating. What's happening is people who have a leaked document here and there, every time you write one thing, they leak it and start attacking it. People who, the debate on the radio is about people who are against any time. But if you listen at the negative, approach, it's because members of the public believe NHI is a system of health care. And they say, why do we introduce that system when the person hospitals are not functioning very well? So that's why our answer to them is, look, we are not introducing NHI only. We've got a 10-point program that is NHI. If you take the 10 points I gave you together, you'll realize that the support is there. You're not just saying NHI, you're saying NHI, improvement of quality, improvement of management, primary health care, and when you put them together, they start putting a better picture than just if you put NHI there. And I'm agreeing publicly. If we introduce NHI today without putting some of these measures, we don't survive for a week. The man will just disappear. If I put NHI and somebody from the private hospital operates one patient and demand half a million that day, it means by the end of the week that man will be gone. There's no question about it. CEOs of hospitals, how do we monitor them? We are eagerly waiting for a report from DPS. I am saying that report, and I told them, because I met them many times. It won't come with a generic sort of condition, a generic report that, no, we went to the Eastern Cape, no, the situation is worse than in Gauteng, in the hospital. No, no. It will come with a report which says, this hospital, so and so is managing, these are the qualifications, these are experience, these are our findings, this is the structure there, this is our recommendation about that particular hospital. So it's not going to be all kinds of people. For instance, they will even come with, you see, what of the thing you have is this. I agree upfront, even though you expect to. There's a question in Parliament asking me the qualifications of CEO, their years of experience, what were they doing before? And I wrote to Thomas to answer that question. The list I got, at least from Limpopo and Eastern Cape, if you read it, you'll run away. I'm not saying the other projects are better, but at least. Why you realize here, this person should not have been hired here, totally wrong. I think it's because health took a decision that you don't have to be a doctor for running. I am not against that. But what many problems did was that you must never be a doctor. So they went to fetch teachers, clerks, truck drivers, and all that. And in some of them who were nearing health, I mean, for instance, why I say that you must never be a doctor?
It's because some of them even went for giving a lesson.
Yeah.
I know even people that they give me a lesson. Some with serious, some were late. People. And this senior nurse, all the senior doctors who are there are supposed to be that junior nurse. Yes. Then I've seen it. It's a lot of quality. Very serious quality. It's something that must be reversed. And reversed very soon. So when they sit in training, then you appoint the hospital clinical manager. The clinical manager by definition is a doctor. Then there's a nursing manager. The nursing manager by definition is a nurse. But all of them report to the CEO. And in quite a number of cases, the CEO is clear to both of them. Yes. Nothing, yes. So you can imagine what the end result will be. Because the CEO is sort of a managerial position. But you are treating a manager who is junior to the other people. It's a serious conflict. So when it never works, many promises to delegation from them. You find the CEO who delegation to repair a broken window. Yes, you go and say, but why this window is covered with a bomb is broken? I must apply to the provincial department for them to allow me a tender to repair this window. It can't work. Or a black pressure machine that doesn't work. Why don't you please ignore the tender for buying black pressure machine in the provincial department? One CEO told me that, no, I know why my hospital is taking this, so let's not talk about it. All the cleaning machines are broken. I've applied the air above from the provincial department to clean them because I've got no delegation to buy. It's an ordinary cleaning machine. And it says I've been waiting for a year. So this report is going to say this hospital can be given this delegation. And we want to give you delegations with hard money. So meaning one hospital will be given some delegations but not others. And the other will be given differently, depending on whether they can cope with them or not. If the hospital can cope with infrastructure, you can give that people a delegation that no, you can repair this and that, you may not do this and that, etc. That's the report you are looking for. The state of the art with no doctors in and no, sometimes nobody able to operate it, is one of the things that we're seeing. And I'll tell you how that is. When we build this state of the art hospital, I've already told our engineers that you will say, not start before you go to each and every of these hospitals. Sit with all the people there, the staff, the doctors, the nurses, etc. This is going to be their hospital and their equipment. You need to know from them what you want, what they want, and in what way. But if you just sit alone and say, I've got money, I've got power, you build a hospital here, you put a lot of machines without the people involved, you arrive at this, where you put an expensive machine which they don't need or they don't even like. I know, for instance, in Barra, I went there. With 48 million rand worth of ultraviolet light. If you go there, they are switched off. The people see them off as the professors themselves because they are very ill. They say, this thing was put here without discussing that. We don't know it's them. They told me straight that no. You should have come to us, there are 18 things we need more than this thing of yours. But Raoul Department of Health called them in their big cost pocketing and sent them there in Boston and said, this is your thing. Now, I know specifically Raoul previously, they used to have in the tender committee a team that would present this one. That team was abolished. So people did decide that we will need what they want to buy. We are even buying wrong glass for doctors. The person who is buying the glass doesn't even know what it is. Yes, doesn't know. I put on 5 8 shoes. You can give me 5 12 shoes and I may be able to walk. But if you give me a slab that doesn't fit me, I will do that properly. Or I'll do it and the little will keep on treating me. And doctors get very ill. Who bought these things? People sitting offices away from them. These are very important things to our people and to the management of the healthcare system. So I won't be surprised if you find a machine which doctors only can't use. Because I think they just woke up to find the doctor. Nobody. They might not be needing it, I can assure you. I want to go and see that what you're talking about. Yeah. It's, but I've got the suspicion that the doctors were told nothing. This thing was prepared. We were just told on Monday, when we were having a little cancer by the energy from Kumana. Rock Ferreira is one of the hospitals accredited for FIFA. They've been building
when you're waiting that for FIFA standard from 2007 up to today, they haven't finished. So 2003, why are we saying 7? Yes, that's 2003. And now she says they must remove the roof and the ceiling this year. Because they put wrong light, wrong theater light, keep on light. You know, and to remove, to replace them, remove the whole roof and the ceiling. Who did that? It was public works alone, roof contractor. Nobody was able to help or less. So these are the things of the past that we want to do away with. But yet, when you go to something where it's all over the province and say you want to help our own engineer, they are hiding. In some province, they can go and tell your minister to go to help. This thing is done by public works, but this will be the end result. I was in education in Limpopo when I visited one area where I found the second copy, where you find second mistake. And when I got in here, I said, but who gave this thing? They said it's public works. I put my hand. The training and everything. Because I know what an inside cup office must look like. That's why I was not looking like it in anywhere. Then they said, no, the whole plan and everything was done and executed by public works. Education was not there. But this is the building that is going to serve us. I can tell you in that area we see, I ordered that we build a new one. And that thing was too new. But the thing is that just not going to sell it. Of being a service cup office with all the goods to a building there. It was a waste of time and money. So when you say one engineer, any public works to you want to collapse their department. We don't want you. We want to run our own department. They are an agency. How does an agent help you if they don't know what you want? How do you help you? But that's how the country is run. And it's all. We believe the methods you are producing will cancel all this. Because each doctor and a nurse will know that in my hospital, they are revitalized. I was phoned by a professor from the news after they had the Minister of Finance announced you, this building of this new hospital. They immediately phoned me and said, please don't go to ask what is this people academic. I said, what? They said, no, that place was renovated, nobody spoke to us. We just saw the things going up. And we know the doctors, they are very unhappy. Because they don't even know where the thing was taken, how it was. So they just saw contractors coming in. Sometimes it's just everything is cool in this country. And I'm telling you because you are leaders, you need to find it all over. There's a gentleman who was passed by Madiba. After Madiba, I think he retired, who is very rich around Kruger National Park, to build schools and clinics in that area. And Madiba went to start the business person, you know it will help. So this man one day called me, I was the MC of his school, he was very angry. He went into this school after agreeing with them that he's going to build them two blocks. While he was completing the block, another contractor came in and said, I've been given a tender to build the block. And he said, no, they needed only two blocks, I'm already building. He said, no, that's one of my business. Public was doing this challenge. And he went in. And he saw that one, he went in, looked for his place, and started building. Yes. No, he had been offering for that. And he started building there. He said, no, public was giving me a tender. It's none of my business what you think. And of course, the man was angry. He was donating. Now, after the completion, the three blocks were finished. That other block was not being used. Completely. Not. When I asked the chairperson of the school governing board, why did he stop? He said, no. I mean, how do you reject the gift? These were all gifts which are willing to ask. I also visited the school where 10 classrooms, 10 brand new classrooms. Each one is a staff room for one teacher. You know the staff room that's where you put all the teachers. In that school, each teacher got his own staff room. The other five are occupied by learners. The 10 are occupied by teachers. And when I asked them what happened, they said, no, public works came here to build this thing. They built and left. And when you look at that village, it's going to take 20 years for those other 10 classrooms to be used. So they remain in a staff room for the teacher. Then you drive 5 kilometers out of that village, you find other liners under its feet. Then you go to the inspector and say, why do you allow this? He said, no, I just saw these people arriving here. And I stopped them to go and build them. They refused. They said, no, public was given. It's fine. Who are you? These are my friends. So when we want our own engineers, is that public works, anywhere in the country, cannot be good and clean for us in our absence. Without asking anything, you are going to use this thing. So the things that must be remembered about the equipment that is not being used. Part of the things that you want to talk about. The issue of things closing in and not functioning very well and people bypassing things, I've discussed with the CEO in the two series of meetings with them, including the one I'm going to meet here now. They will tell us straight that yes, it's true, our things are not functioning. Because primary access no longer being followed. So it's giving them a homework to start the process. How do you make your team function? Some of them are wrong policies. One CEO told me how they used to take government cars, send doctors to the surrounding clinic to go and work there. And he said the hospital was relatively empty because the doctors go there to the various clinics. Then the provincial government made the law that if you are a doctor, you are driving a government vehicle, you are involved in an accident, you will pay it on your own account. And so the doctor says, well, you don't have money to pay that stuff, so that they cannot go. And then what does he do? He wait for the patient to go to the hospital. And the patient will leave that clinic and come to the hospital. Now they say that hospital is overcrowded. And they were asking me, why don't you talk to the provincial government to change this law? I said, I don't have to talk to them. It's easy for anyone to make that. So when we sit in our offices, we make policies. That on the ground don't make sense. But if you are stubborn, as a stubborn leader, you will insist on them. Even after today, I don't know why that stupid thing was done, because I know all managers here who are driving government cars, nobody told them to pay when they are involved in an accident. Why do you to doctors? But it's a better thing. That CEO was telling me that if we change this today, tomorrow the doctors will be there, the clinic will start waiting, patients don't have to rush to this hospital. Thank you. I think that's
I think
the campaign. They want to compensate 2.5 million people in the next year. They're trying to do 200 something. There were 600, they would have done the minimum one day, they ran out of the claim. And it's not a situation like in the past where you spend 5 days lying down. In fact, the claim they are using, the person who invented it from Malaysia was there when they wanted on salary. We can see sometimes to add break. And you go to work, yeah. In that place, they can put that place where you go. That's why the students will be on Saturday. On Monday, they'll all go to school. So we can, yes. It's a revolutionary, what you call it. It's a revolutionary invention, which will be very, very helpful. That's why we can target so many numbers. Our limit now is not the perfect human resource, so our limit is the money for that level. Now, the second area we are targeting is not Northwest and Kosovo. We are targeting Kelsey and then Omala because their prevalence less. I mean, it's just a mirror image of the one in the end. Because we are targeting areas which traditionally don't. If you look at our HIV prevalence, why we are so sure that circumcision does have a role to play. In areas where the traditional circumcision, the prevalence is not very high. For instance, if you look at the Bobo, Eastern Cape and Kenya, in their socioeconomic indicators, they are triplets. When you find kids saving in the Bobo, they will say in the Eastern Cape and the rural area of KwaZulu-Natal. power to work for KwaZulu-Natal. If you find people unemployed, you'll find the link to the people working. So they were but when it comes to HIV is prevalent, that is the only socioeconomic issue where they break level. You find KwaZulu-Natal very, very high. Limpopo somewhere in the middle, Eastern Cape, much lower than you expect. And Kapswa and then Mpumalanga, very high. What does it say KwaZulu-Natal? No circumcision. Eastern Cape, circumcision is a religion. In Limpopo, all three tribal groups are circumcised, even though. So we think it has got a role. And leaders also have told us in other countries that this thing was referred to very clear. Not a condom, but definitely the rate of infection for individuals. Reduced by between 50 and 60%. Because we are throwing everything, condoms, education, abstinence, if you can, with your sales for this money as a country. But we throw everything into the pot and see whichever one can help us. You know? So at the moment it's KZN. The next which are being targeted, I think, is Mpumalanga and Northern Cape. But we believe by next year March. Will have pushed the front in all the provinces. That will be good news. But I thought when you were here, you were in over South Africa looking at you have responsibilities for the whole country, you need the KwaZulu world. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So let me. No, I'm going to. I want to close now.
By the way, I still know how to grow this food. I have volunteered publicly that out of the 2.5 million they must provide, 1,000 will be done by me. So I'm just saying, to my colleagues here, I can offer that thing.
And also commend the department for the aggressive campaign on the voluntary counseling.
I forgot to mention that word because we no longer use it.
Oh, we don't use what are you using? What is the use?
We no longer use voluntary, in fact, okay. Voluntary counseling because we think we haven't done very well. So we no longer call it GCP.
Okay.
We call it ACP. Meaning HIV counseling and testing, not voluntary. The difference is not that the other is compulsory. The difference is, you see, VCT means voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
You want people to come and volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't come, there's nothing you can do.
Okay.
But HCG, you go to them and you see that they want volunteer. You volunteer for them in single terms.
Okay.
You take it to the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why now in HCG, each and every hospital must do it as a matter of fact. We are taking it to the university. There will be mobile clinics attached to every hospital, mobile units, to go out into the farming areas and areas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you are actually aggressively taking it there. The only thing that is missing is to force them. But we are not very fast for So we want to move away from voluntary because of that. So it's called aid. That's the official name. Yeah, HIV,
counseling, and thank you.
No, thank you. Okay. We're just waiting for you to do our oversight.
Yes.
So, excuse me, we discussed this issue of tomorrow, this meeting. They were supposed to be here yesterday for the health conference, to give my father's speech.
Okay.
But I discouraged them because they can't come past the Cape Town. Because I wanted them to attend tomorrow.
Okay.
But many of them phoned me last night and said they've got no indication from NCOP. They just hear from me that they must come.
Okay.
Yes. If you pray and he's calling me, he says, look, you just thank you, he's calling us, but we only hear from you. Nobody calls us. Well, those who call you, I raise the card because I speak on Monday. But all they were saying is to be too bad because they're saying,